Thank you, musicians. We serve a great God. There are times when I'm able to, someone talks to me, and I'm able to start telling someone about my life. And I start to think, you know what, I've seen some tragedy, I've seen some hard times, I've had times when there has been no money in the bank, and I've had people close to me pass away. But if I look at the whole, and I start looking at the things that God has done in my life, and the things that just sometimes we overlook because we're so close to the valley that we're walking in, that we miss some of the things, or we forget some of the things that God has done in our lives. And it's like, man, God has been such an awesome God to me. I live an overwhelmingly blessed life because of what God has done for me. It's not what I have done. It's what God has done in my life. And it is just, you start looking at it, and then if you're down, if you're feeling down, you start thinking about the things God has done in your life. You start going, you know what? I have it pretty good. I am super blessed. I am so overwhelmingly blessed in my life that there's no, I can do nothing but start to smile. I can do nothing but start to have joy whelm up in me because, you know what? The king loves me. The king loves me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we lift our hands? Lord, you are so good to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the breath that I have. Thank you for the blood flowing through my veins. Thank you for the joy that you allow me to walk in and day out. No matter what the circumstances I face, the joy that you allow me to have, the joy that you give me, the peace that you give me. Hallelujah. 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 You may be seated. I am so thankful that God gives me the opportunity to start speaking of the great things he's done in my life, because it reminds me often how blessed I am, how blessed I am. The world may put it as you got special benefits. The special benefit I have is I'm walking with the Lord. The privilege I have is the privilege to walk with the King. There's nothing else. Other than that, I'm just a human that goes through everything just like everybody else. But the fact that the King lives in me and I'm walking with him, and the fact that he is peace and he is joy. So when he is living in us, we have that peace. We have that joy. Man, God is great. God is great. That's not even part of my message. God is great. First Chronicles, we're going to get to some specific scriptures, but I just want to talk a little bit about First Chronicles, Old Testament, talk about David. At this point in time in history, David had been king for a while, but you know, Israel, since they left Egypt, really hadn't had a chance to settle down and just be a nation. They were always in conflict, either with one another or they were in conflict with other nations, the Philistines and all the ites that were at that time. And it just seemed like everything, every time they turned around, They were in some sort of battle. And that's all David knew as a king was, up to this point, was, well, we're going to go out to battle. All the men, we're going to go out to battle. honey, the wife's at home going, but I got this honey-do list. Sorry, babe, I've got to go out to battle. Go out to battle. But in Corinthians, Chronicles, I knew I was going to do that. I knew it. In Chronicles, peace started to settle in. David, in all the battles, subdued the enemies of Israel, and the Lord worked, and the Philistines submitted, all the ites submitted, and they all became the servants of the King David. And we start to see the transition. This is how long David was at war. This was starting the transition into Solomon being king. That's a long time. And so every morning, the men of Israel would be getting up, and instead of like lounging pajamas, they were putting on the armor. They were putting on the war. Where are we going today to fight people? They would come home and they'd have blood all over their clothes, and it was just a crazy time. But in this transition, there came peace, which is a whole new thing for the Israelites. In chapter 18, it starts to talk about how the Philistines were subdued and all the nations, list out all the nations that said, you know what, you're too tough for us. We will just be whatever servants you want us to be. And so times were changing into a time of peace. And in chapter 22, verses 7 through 10, David is talking to Solomon. It says, and David said to Solomon, my son, as far me, it was in my mind to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies around about, for his name shall be Solomon. And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. Peace and quiet. Peace and quiet. Now, it probably took a little bit of time for the men of Israel to change from directly getting up in the morning and putting on who are we fighting today, to, oh, there's no battle today? Oh, let me go change my clothes. I mean, this is a big transition. We don't see it as much here in the United States, but you see it in the Middle East and other countries that have been embattled in war for so long that there's people that all they know is conflict. And so this is what the Israelites were facing, they didn't even have a chance to set up who was going to run things, who was going to be in charge of what. It's because it's been such a turmoil at that time. And so all these men of war now starting to go, okay, where is going to be my place in the kingdom? And what is going to be my reward for being a faithful soldier for the king? Where's the king going to place me in this kingdom? And I'm sure that they all had in mind the job they wanted. And there was a man named Joash, and he had been a warrior. And you have all these tough men that they come home and go, honey, we are at peace. And King David is about to hand out the jobs. We're moving up. Yeah. Pay raise. You know what? Lawn chairs. We're going to be moving up. This is going to be the good life. It was so peaceful that they didn't really disband the army, but each soldier took a month of the year. So it's kind of like the reserves. And so they were looking at these jobs. The keeper of the gate. Man, or keeper of the treasure. Whoa. You know? Important people get put in charge of the money. Yeah. Joash could be, honey, if I'm put in charge of the money, we are going to be living the high life. Or keeper of the affairs of the king. I'm going to be in charge of the king's social agenda. Can't get much better than that. Uh-oh. I see in the there's the king's companion. Whoa. What's much? That's got to be tops. The king's companion. The king's going to go down the street, and he's going to go, hey, come on, let's go. We're going to jump in the chariot, arms on the side, wind blowing. Man, he's going to dress me up nice because he's not going to want his companion to look like an idiot. Wife's going, new dresses. Kids are going, oh, yeah, the greatest and newest iPhone. And so Joash is sitting here going, man, what's going to be my job? And all these jobs are being marked off the list, and his name's not come up, and his name's not come up. Finally, in chapter 27, verse 28, it says, over the sellers of oil was Joash. Joash is like, what? Have you been in the cellar? How many people have been in an actual cellar? It's not that cool of a place. In fact, it kind of smells. It's kind of dark. Doesn't always stay the cleanest. In some cellars, you may see a rat or two. If you put it in sports terms, the cellar dweller is the last place team. And Joash is going, what did I do? I went out and fought. I did just as well as some of these other guys, the king's companion. Why am I stuck in the cellar? Why am I in charge of the oil? I mean, you go home, your wife's got the bags packed. All right, honey, we're moving to the cellar. What? Wife and kids are like, whoa, 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 what happened to the big job? What happened to the glamorous job? What happened to the one that, you know what, we are riding around and people are seeing us? Does that mean my iPhone's gone? And obviously the Bible doesn't say all this about the families and stuff, and I'm kind of just imagining how our families and our kids would be reacting in this situation. But there had to have been a little bit of disappointment in Joash going, you know what, all these jobs that get seen, all these jobs that seem to be where you don't get dirty, where you're not getting all dirty, you're not getting all smelly, you're out in the sunlight. And I get this one. Because at that point in time, the cellars wasn't like what we have today where we have it under one house. It was like a city over a city. These cellars and under Jerusalem were huge because they had to contain all the oil. And so you're talking being underground all the time, being saturated in oil. Now, how many of you have taken time to smell olive oil? You know, it's not something you're going to be going, ooh, honey, it's the scent of olive oil. But yet Joash is being put in charge of the oil. Joash means Jehovah bestowed or Jehovah has gifted him. Jehovah gifted him a job that he may not have understood at first, but came to know the real meaning of what he was doing. You see, oil was very, very important in life. It was a very valuable commodity. It was used in medicines. Obviously, it was used in food. They would put it as skin care, dry skin, put a little bit of oil on, go out in the sun, put a little oil on, and it was used to light up the city. They used it to trade for goods. It was a valuable commodity. Now, most importantly, it was used in the temple. It was used to light the temple. It anointed things in the temple. It was used in sacrifices. Now, that was what first came off the presses. When the oil was first pressed, that's the oil that would go to the temple. Joash was in charge of making sure what oil went where. They had to make sure that the oil was being distributed to the proper people at the right time, and that the oil didn't get mold or dirt, that the rats and mice and anything that would come to try to contaminate the oil was kept away. He had to keep the temperature right. See, oil is very sensitive. It just can't be left in any environment. Some of you can see where I'm going here. The oil can't be left in just any environment because it's precious. It's expensive. Joash didn't have a glamorous job, but he had a very important job. See, King Solomon paid Hiram 150,000 gallons of oil for the material to build the temple. 150,000 gallons. See, that oil came from work by Joash. The oil that was used to anoint King Solomon came from work that was done in the dark that no one saw by Joash. See, he may have not have known at the time the value of his work. But what he was doing in secret was going to be manifested in the temple. His work is what was going to light the temple. And we say, well, you know what? That should be a job that people see. Well, you know, there's some jobs that just can never be seen by anybody. The keeper of the cellar is the one that keeps the lights on in the temple. And throughout Scripture, the oil has represented the Spirit of God. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The oil now living in us. That oil that is a medicine to heal the brokenhearted, to heal spirits, that oil that soothes an aching soul. That oil is used for food. When it's mixed with the Word of God and you're prayerfully reading the Word, that is food to us, that sustains us, that makes it where we can live. That oil is a light unto our path. See, it's what we do in our private time when no one sees that's going to be manifested in the temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And what we do in our private time and what we do in our times when no one else is around is going to manifest itself on the outside. And as the keepers of the cellars of oil, we have to be very mindful of what we do, because the oil just doesn't go in any environment. We have to be always on guard, saying, you know what? I can't have this mold of the music that I used to listen to coming in and messing up the oil. I can't have the movies that I watch come in and mess up the oil. I can't have these words from TikTok come and be a rat that gets into the oil. We can't have the mold of that boyfriend or girlfriend that's going to lead us away from God. We have to take mindful steps of what we're doing, because we are keeping the oil. We are keeping the oil. And that oil is just not for us. It's not just for us. See, it says, Matthew 5:14-16, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. That oil is not just a light for our path. That oil that we are taking care of, that we are saying, you know what? I can't do this, because this is going to bring stuff into the oil that's going to mess it up. That light that shines through us is supposed to go to other people. That light is to light the world. That oil. So we have to take care of it. Now, if you're here today and you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, God is calling you. He's going, I want you to be a keeper of the cellar. I want you to be a keeper of the oil. I want you to live for me. I want you to light not only your life, but the world around you with the light that comes from the oil. Today is your day. If you have never been received the Holy Ghost, today's your day. We can go back to Acts 2:38. Then repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I've heard some people talk that when they come into the house, this church, they have a church of their own. They go, there's something different about this church. There's a different feeling about this church. The reason that is not because we are such great people. We are great people. You guys are great people. But it's really because the oil that is being taken care of in the cellar is manifesting itself in the congregation. It's what we do at home. It's that prayer time at home. It's that fasting time at home. It's that Bible reading and studying time at home that keeps that oil fresh, that keeps that oil flowing, that keeps that light burning. Yeah, right. And it manifests itself in the temple of the King. So here's your commission. Here's the keeper's charge. If you don't know the King today, your charge is to come to this altar in a minute and say, you know what? I want to know him, because I want the peace that you're walking around in. I want that joy that you're walking around in. And it only comes when that oil fills the temple. If you've already been filled with the Holy Ghost, today's charge is, you need to make sure it's renewed. Inspect yourself and say, you know what? I want to make sure that oil is pure because I have a loved one that needs to know Jesus. I have a coworker who's relying on me to know Jesus so that they can see the light. I have a person in my neighborhood who I've been talking to that I need to make sure that that oil is pure and that light is pure. Can we all stand? Matthew 25 talks about the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. At that point in time, and the husband would get, they'd get engaged, and then the husband would go, or the fiance would go and build onto his father's house. And when he got prepared and that house was prepared, he'd come back for the bride. And while the groom was going to build the house, the bride was to prepare. And they would put a lamp in the window so that when the bridegroom came, the groom knew right where to go. So we could be walking as the bride and not maintain the oil and miss out. Because the 5 wise ones made sure their oil was right. But the 5 foolish kind of said, you know what? It's okay to watch this movie. You know, it doesn't have that many cuss words in it. You know what? This group of friends that, you know what, they do things that, well, you know, aren't right. It's okay to hang out with them all the time. They're not going to take me away. I'm going to be the one that takes them all away from their sin. The 5 foolish virgins let their light go out. Let the oil get spoiled. Today, your charge today is that if you don't know Jesus, his peace and his joy is waiting for you to go, you know what? I give my life to you, Jesus. Could you lift your hands around the building? Lord, we worship you. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, right now to be sensitive to what you want us to do. Intercessors, if you would, start to pray. Intercessors, if you would, start to lift up the King.